Have you ever heard a distant cry that no one else could hear? Can a fairy tell when death is coming? What is the real reason you should never pick up a strange comb? Today we test the believability of the Banshee.
Welcome to Believing the Bizarre,
where we dive into the unknown and the unusual
and tell you whether or not we find it believable.
Put a lot of anger in that one.
Yeah.
Didn't mean to be angry. I'm just excited.
Excited about the Banshee.
Yeah. My favorite Halo vehicle.
An excellent vehicle in Grand Theft Auto San Andreas.
Yeah. Tyler's drinking this drink right now. I swear to God, it's a blue Fanta. It is so blue and rich looking. It looks like it's full of sugar.
It's not. Across multiple platforms, we've talked about this drink, which, Mio, if you want to sponsor an episode, you know what to do.
I'm still fighting off this cold, but I'm much better than I was on Tuesday. So I appreciate everyone who was at our extended discussion on Twitch and our Google Hangout who bore witness to me about to die on stream. Yeah. I did my best.
I think in 2022, there's no better way to go out than on stream.
Absolutely. That's how you do it.
You lose a follower after you die.
Only one. I have my number one mom mug.
Yeah.
So let's get into this. The Banshee. So this is, I told you, this is a lot of encounters.
Well, you told me off the air.
I did. This is a lot of encounters, Tyler. A little light on history. Some history, though.
Nothing wrong with that.
Nothing wrong with that. Parmesan sprinkle of history on the pasta.
So you're saying I don't have to hit the 15-second forward that much when I listen back to this?
No, you shouldn't.
All right.
So what is a Banshee? Also known as the Banshee. I think I'm saying that correctly. It's Celtic. It means woman of the fairy mounds.
Mounds or mountains?
That's the sickness. Mounds.
Mounds.
Mounds. Okay. Like the candy bar?
Yes, that's what I was thinking.
Who is known for her keening or lamenting wails. And
I'm lamenting.
I'm very sad. They scream into the night, and they are an omen of a death in the family of the person that heard her cry. So we talked about this a little bit during the Mothman episode. She is a harbinger of death in the family. So like the Mothman was a harbinger of, you know, the bridge was going to collapse. Doppelganger is a harbinger of bad stuff.
Yeah, it's like either your misfortune or someone else in the family misfortune.
Yeah, like that kind of spirit. She is a harbinger of death in your family.
So if a banshee screams in the forest and no one's around to hear it, does anyone die?
That's a good question. I think probably.
Does she have like a little radar detector so when she screams, like a wavelength goes out and she can see if anyone heard it? And she's like, all right, I got to Facebook stalk him, see who we're taking out in his family.
Couple clicks left.
Yeah.
Yeah. I don't think she's that advanced. So these fairy come from Irish Celtic folklore. There is something in Scottish folklore that is similar to the Banshee, although it's not quite the same, so I didn't really include her. Just wanted to say, kind of also Scottish.
Does she have a name?
Queenic, which she's Scottish. So according to mythology, these banshees, they have the ability to turn into mist. And when they do this, they make a sound, and that's the sound of birds' wings flapping.
That's them. That's the transition into mist.
Yeah, that's their transition sound.
Okay.
Yeah.
I didn't know banshees were fairies.
Yeah, they are. They are a type of fae. We'll get into a little bit more why they're fae in the history. A lot of people don't know that. They just think they're women, right?
Mm-hmm. I didn't really know what to picture. So what does a banshee in its non-mist form look like?
History first.
Okay.
So here's the history of the banshee. In the medieval times, a tradition started in Ireland. Women would come to gravesides of the recently deceased. These women would be called keeners, and they would sing sad songs called a queenia, or lament. The best keeners would attend large funerals of nobles. This is how some women made their living. They'd be paid in alcohol and this caused these women to be cast out by most cities in their old age because they were seen as sinners. In their prime, these women were called Benzi, or fairy women, because their voices were so magical, and they could only be fae because they were the best singers, better than humans. And that is a little bit how the Banshee became to be.
So, is there a chance that Celine Dion and Taylor Swift are Banshees?
I don't think so. They're still alive, and I think they're paid more with money than alcohol, I think.
That's true.
Although, I don't know how they pay those famous people.
Just picture them, like, if it was, like, a modern day, yeah, Banshee, and they're just bedside, and they're like, work, 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 work,
That's a sad song, though.
Does it have to be a sad song?
Yeah, it has to be a sad song. So it has to be like Alec Benjamin.
Or Death Cab song.
Death Cab for Cute. Yeah, those, but those are men. Maybe like, who's that sad?
What's the, and now, and I drive alone past your street.
Yeah.
Olivia Rodrigo?
Yes, her.
They just sing that song.
She's a banshee.
Maybe. Okay. Maybe. Sarah Kays?
Sarah Kays?
Yeah.
What about Sarah Q's?
I don't know who that is.
I don't know who Sarah Kays is.
Okay. Let's move on.
A banshee can appear in several ways. One, a beautiful woman wearing a shroud. Two, a pale woman in a white dress with long red hair. Three, a woman with long silver dress and silver hair. Four and five are wild. Are you ready? Four is a headless woman carrying a bowl of blood that is naked from the waist up. Five is an old woman with frightening red eyes, a green dress, and long white hair. And six, it's pretty normal, an old woman with a veil covering her face, dressed in all black with long gray hair.
Oh. So, there's a lot of iterations here. I feel like you just, you know, like, you. She also sometimes is wearing a nice sweater and has a pixie cut.
Sometimes she has a ukulele.
Yeah. Sometimes she's wearing that oversized sweater and leggings outfit that was very popular in 2016.
Yeah. I didn't really put it in here, but there's an idea that there's a good banshee and a bad banshee.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't see much of a difference. Kind of the same thing to me. They're all the harbinger thing. Death in the family is going to come.
Even if they're a good one,
yeah.
Someone's going to die.
Mm-hmm.
They just feel bad. They're going to really put their heart into the song when they sing it as your family member dies.
I think they're just not scary. You know, like the old woman with the black veil is kind of scary. But like the woman... You don't think so?
No, sorry. I'm thinking of Rose the Hat. Because I know she was supposed to be scary in Dr. Sleep. And I was just like, oh, I'm not scared. And I don't mean to be sexist, because there are definitely female characters in movies that are terrifying. Like, the lady from Rose Red was terrifying. I can't remember her
name. I don't think I saw Rose Red.
It was good. I think it's 2002. But anyway, or 2000. It was either 2000 or 2000. Like, she's terrifying. I'm not saying it's because she's a girl. I just, the whole movie, I was like, I'm not afraid of her. And I like Ewan McGregor. But that's neither here nor there.
So, banshee were said to have combs that they would sometimes be seen brushing their hair with. Because of this, a superstition came to be that if a person saw a comb on the ground, they shouldn't pick it up because they would be whisked away to fairy world.
What if you wanted to go to fairy world? I guess you don't?
You don't want to go there. Remember the whole thing about the food and stuff?
Yeah, that's true.
Yeah, no, man. Don't want to go there.
Who's picking up used combs anyway?
I was thinking that when I was writing the question up top. I was like, who wants a comb on the ground?
Like, although, you know what I needed today?
What if it's like a really nice comb? Like a nice, like, bone comb? You know?
No, the only comb I want is one that flips out like a pocket knife so I can join a greaser gang in a 1950s movie.
My dad gave me one of those when I was like 9.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I just recently started brushing and combing my hair again, now that it's longer.
Do you feel good about it?
It makes it go down more. My hair used to go out, and now it's going down. And I have to thank the brush thing for that. It's not really a brush. It's that thing that's spindly on every side. Like, it's circular. Cylindrical.
I don't know,
and
man.
And there's just bristles.
But oh, I know what you're talking about. Yeah,
I don't know what it's called. I don't know what that's called.
It's a roller?
Something like thing? You roll your hair down, right?
Yeah.
I used to complain because my hair is getting longer, but it was going out. But now, it goes down.
That's good.
It is good. Gravity, I think, is coming into this too, but I'm not a science nerd.
No.
Who knows what's happening out here?
Anyway, banshee can come into sizes ranging from 3 feet tall to 8 feet tall. And their appearance can be preceded by a crow, a screaming cat, or howling dogs. And that comes into play in our encounters, actually.
Mm. The sizing, man. Like, imagine 8-foot Banshee with the headless, Banshee with the bowl of blood.
That is a horror movie.
The 3-foot version of that is also really scary.
Scary?
All versions of that is scary.
The 3-foot is scary to you?
Yeah, it's like there's something, unsettling about that. the whole thing is unsettling. It doesn't really matter how tall they are.
This little lady coming up to you going, ah!
But she can't be doing that, right? Because she doesn't have a head.
Of just that one particular one.
That particular one.
Yes, okay. I was thinking of just, like, the first one. Like,
no, I mean specifically, that's the only version that I find scary.
Yeah, okay.
You're saying that before you see the woman, you see or hear these animals?
Yeah, you would hear, like, a crow, or you would hear a cat, or you'd hear a dog howling.
Woof. There's banshees nearby.
So depending on where you are on the island of Ireland, the banshee has a different type of cry. So by way of Tyrone, it said that she sounds like two boards smashing together. And Lanseer, she sounds like glass breaking. And in Kerry, she has a low, pleasant voice. But her cry can change in length, volume, no matter where, and it can be heard very far away, and it always means death. That's all the backstory about the banshee we get. That's all there really is. It's pretty simple. It's this woman who sings or makes some kind of noise, and she is a prelude to death.
Now, does she happen to know? Like, okay, is it cause or effect? Is it you hear her because somebody's going to die? Or so somebody in your family is going to die, so therefore you run into a banshee? Or is it you run into a banshee, therefore someone in your family is going to die? Cause or effect?
That's the question. We don't
I'm
know.
Asking you this. I question. Don't know. What do you think?
I think it's going to happen, and they're letting you know.
Okay, so they are like they are the Irish mothmen women, moth women.
Yeah, they're not causing these deaths. They're just letting you know they're going to happen.
See, I wasn't sure if it's like if you see one, there's like this vengefulness and she's going to cause someone in your family to die, where it seems like what you're saying is more so it's already going to happen. It's just now that you see her, you know.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So if you see a woman with no head in a big old Tupperware of blood, you know someone, you start calling your relatives.
Is that Rubbermaid? Before we move on really quick, there's also this other idea that banshees can be only experienced by certain families in Ireland, which I don't really abide by because there's so many stories other places that I don't think it makes sense. It's just those families. I don't know. It makes them so special anyway.
I guess just being from the area.
I guess I'm rocking that 216, so you know, I can only hear the banshees.
Only Ohioans can hear and like MGK.
I don't like MGK.
I don't either.
Yeah, no.
Maybe we're not Ohioans at heart.
Maybe that's what it is. That's a problem.
You should put an album out called Oop. Sorry, we can move on. So while we're on the topic of Ohio, really quick, shout out Cavs for picking up Donovan Mitchell, Spite of Mitchell. But anyway, we don't have to talk about that.
So I do have two poems about banshees, because I thought it was fitting for the topic, because there are some amazing poets from Ireland, so I thought, let's give it a whirl.
Are these really old, or are these more recent?
These are actually more recent.
Okay.
The first one is from 2008, and the second one's from 2015.
Oh, wow, very recent.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
There were some older ones, but they were super long. First poem, as the moon at midnight moves through the starry sky, out there in the bog, land the banshees shall cry. The one seldom heard and the human eyes cannot see. Some say the ghost of one who died in agony. 'Tis said the cry of the banshee is a brief, loud, shrill screech that into the depths of the soul seems to reach. And those who have heard it will never forget the loud, ear-piercing scream till the day of their death. To those who have heard it, fear the night it does bring. The cry of the banshee is a terrifying thing, the most terrifying scream that they ever did hear. A cry that instills in those who hear it fear. The cry of the banshee is a blood-curdling cry. It pierces the silence in the midnight sky. And those who have heard it never leave us in doubt. That midnight from their homes, they never more venture out. It's by Francis Duggan. from 2008.
Yeah, I we should start writing poems about our topics. Let's skip the three questions at the top and let's just write.
Just write a poem. I have one more. It's much shorter, from Sam Hines.
It's just a haiku.
It's very short. I think it's very funny. A banshee once went on a date, a dinner. It was so great. She started to cry right across from the guy, who then choked and fell dead on his plate.
Oh, okay. Nice, great to the point.
I liked it.
So you don't want the banshee. A banshee's scream is very, very scary. If you hear it, shit. Yeah.
Shit.
You know what's interesting is that just from the history, now going into this episode, what I knew about banshees, not even about really what they looked like, but I knew that they had, it was the scream.
Yeah.
But the history didn't seem to harp on the scream very much. It was more about what they looked like and the singing. Like I got more about singing than the screech.
Yeah. Yeah, no, it's not so much about screeching. They come from a history of singing.
But it's interesting because it seems like the screaming is what has kind of lived on beyond, like, if there's something people think about, and maybe I'm generalizing here, but I feel like banshees in their screams. The banshee, right. Scream. You know, like, right. That's what they're known for.
I think it comes because it comes from a place of fear. But we can talk more about that in the discussion, I think. I have this picture I want you to see real quick.
Oh, I saw that in the video we were just watching about how to say the Scottish one.
Oh, did you? Isn't that terrible?
Creepy. I was going to say actually while we were watching it looked very creepy.
Yeah.
Let me see it again. Did you draw that?
No.
That's scary.
I did not draw that. I'm very bad at drawing.
I wonder if we can use that as our graphic or if we'll get sued.
I don't think we can because there's an illustrator on it.
I'll just crop the name out.
I thought about that too.
It's fine.
Anyway, so from here on out are just encounters. So let's start our encounters. So to start these encounters, this first story is from Mysterious Universe, and apparently is a true ghost story from the 1900s, from a family from Cork, and it goes like this.
Is that Ireland?
Yeah, Cork is a city in Ireland. Quote, my mother, when a young girl, was standing looking out the window in their house in Blackrock near Cork. She suddenly saw a white figure standing on a bridge, which was easily visible from the house. The figure waved her arms toward the house, and my mother heard the bitter wailing of the banshee. It lasted some seconds, and then the figure disappeared. Next morning, my grandfather was walking as usual into the city of Cork. He accidentally fell, hit his head against the curbstone, and never recovered consciousness. End quote. That's wild.
Coincidental.
Yes, but I think that's kind of the whole thing with the banshee.
That's true. It fits the theme.
Yeah. This encounter is from 1894 and is an experience of a boy at a boarding school. Quote, a few years ago, a curious incident occurred in a public school in connection with belief of the banshee. One of the boys, happening to become ill, was once placed in a room by himself where he used to sit all day. On one occasion, as he was visited by the doctor, he suddenly started up from his seat and affirmed he heard somebody crying. The doctor, of course, who could not hear or see anything, came to the conclusion that the illness had slightly affected the boy's brain. However, the boy, who appeared quite sensible, still persisted that he could hear someone crying, and furthermore said, quote, it's the banshee, as I have heard it before, end quote. The following morning, the headmaster received a telegram saying that the boy's brother had been accidentally shot dead.
Hanging around Dick Cheney.
That guy didn't die.
No, he didn't.
No.
Quayle didn't either.
No, nothing. Nobody died that day.
I don't know. The way that one was an old story, right?
Yeah,
the
1800s.
The way it was written was really hard to follow.
So basically, there was a boy in bed. He was sick.
Yeah.
The doctor was checking on him, and the kid heard wailing while the doctor was there. The doctor's like, oh, it's just the kid's brain is breaking because he's sick.
Was he blind?
No, he's just sick.
I thought you said he couldn't see, of course.
The doctor, of course, who could hear or see nothing, because the doctor couldn't hear the banshee or see anything.
Gotcha. I was like, did I miss that this guy's blind?
No. Okay. The doctor couldn't see or hear the banshee. So the kid could, though, and then he found out his brother got killed.
Because the doctor didn't have anyone that was going to die.
Mm-hmm. This next story is from 1940s. Quote, alongside a dark cemetery road called Old Howard Street and the town of Fulton Place. It was here that an elderly man was suddenly bedridden by some mysterious debilitating disease, after which scores of squawking crows began to congregate around the home for reasons no one could fathom. One evening, when the man had visitors over to see him, in what seemed to be the last hours, there was apparently a knock on the door, and when one of the visitors opened the door and saw, quote, an old hag-like woman with long white hair and a long white dress, who was wringing her hands and sobbing, end quote, only to turn to come rushing at the house with an ear-splitting scream before vanishing into thin air. According to the story, the old man died just a few hours later, end quote.
That would be creepy.
Yeah, no, that's really creepy. That's really bizarre. But that's what I mentioned about the crows coming before the banshee.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
I wonder if it sounded like crows, too, when she vanished. Because I assume by vanish, they mean turn to mist.
Mm, probably. Like the flapping of the wings?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that's good putting two and two together. Quote, as a child, I remember my grandmother telling me that my grandfather had taken ill in the back room of their house. She was attending him when she heard a loud banging at the front door and left my grandfather to go answer it. She told me that as she approached the door, she could hear a sobbing noise coming from outside, but on opening the door, there was no one on the other side. She immediately went back to my grandfather, finding him stone dead in his bed. Fast forward to November 2001, I was at my grandmother's house. She had only been given a few days to live, and my father thought it was a good idea to come out and say my last goodbyes. Rather unfortunately, she was going through a slow, painful death. I remember going to her in her bedroom and feeling very cold. I know that the few days were more realistically a matter of hours at the most. As my grandfather's breathing became more shallow, my dad said it was probably better that I sit in the front room. He called my aunt's boyfriend and asked him to come and pick me up. While I was waiting, I heard a knock on the door. I assumed it was my aunt's boyfriend. As I approached the door, I could hear crying. As I touched the lock to open the door, I suddenly felt a chill down my spine. There was no one there. Almost instantaneously, I heard a mixture of prayers and sobbing come from the back room. I knew she was gone. As I closed the door, I saw a glimpse of what can only be described as a tall, thin woman sitting, crying, at the neighbor's wall. The experience has stayed with me forever. End quote.
Now that one, and I know this is a me problem, that one was written in a way that I could follow through the entirety of it.
Yeah, it was really good.
Yeah, that's creepy.
Quote, I was standing next to my bedroom window. We lived in an apartment that was on the fifth floor. The window faced out into the alleyway. It was dusk when the crying started. First, it sounded like a newborn or a cat crying. Now, I know my neighbors and did not know of anyone that had a newborn, but it was an alleyway, so I thought it had probably been a cat. But the crying changed into a young child crying or sobbing, and it was the saddest cry I have ever heard. I tried to lift up my window to call out to the person crying. I thought it was Tommy Cavigan next door. I yelled out because I could not see anything because there was no light and it was dark by now. There was no answer, just crying. I yelled out, Tommy, is that you? Are you okay? Do you need help? No one answered, just more crying. The sobbing changed again to a woman's sobs. Again, heartbroken sounding sobs, coming from an unknown source. My mom came into the room and the crying stopped. I said to my mom, don't you hear that crying? It sounded like someone was really hurt. She said, I don't hear anything. She was in the living room. The apartment was not that big. She should have heard the crying. She looked at me very funny and shook her head. When she left the room, the crying started. This was not crying that was from someone being physically hurt. It was a crying from someone that was just told the worst news possible, and her heart was broken. That's the only way I can describe it. The crying stopped, and I went about my business. 3 days later, at 5:30 in the morning, my father's sister called to let him know that their sister died. She had leukemia. End quote.
I think that's the best description so far of the crying.
Yeah.
Definitely yeah. More about singing and crying than screaming.
Yeah, crying is definitely bigger. Singing a little bit, but definitely the crying.
It makes it feel way more empathetic. Like, you're only hearing this because someone... Like, it completely changes my perspective on banshees. Instead of, like, something creepy or, like, this terrifying scream you hear off in the distance, it's almost like they're crying for you.
Mm-hmm.
And it's like, I know something you don't know yet, and it breaks my heart. And it's just this, like, feeling in your gut that you're like, you're hearing this, and you know something bad's going to happen, but you don't know to who or to what. I was waiting for that one. The mom shook her head because she couldn't hear it, and she went in the other room, and then she exploded.
Well, you know what's funny about that, though? The mom didn't hear it because it was the dad's sister.
Ah, yeah, she don't care about her.
Well, she wasn't technically her family.
Blood, yeah.
Yeah, not blood anyway.
Man, it is a rough life being a banshee.
I guess. I have two red stories.
Yeah, these are always the best.
Yeah. I think I saw a banshee who's warning me my boyfriend will pass soon. This woman, she drops a T. I love this story. So the other night, I was sitting on my porch, smoking a cigarette, as I usually do, late in the night. My boyfriend was at work at the time, and I just hear really loud screaming. I look behind me, and I see what looks like a woman just walking down the street, screaming at the top of her lungs, and she looked right at me. My initial thought was maybe it was just some weirdo or someone under the influence of something, but after more thought, I realized the scream didn't sound human. It sounded like something I'd never heard before. After that, I thought maybe it was a skinwalker, but my mother informed me that the chances are it was a banshee. For some backstory on why I think maybe she was warning me of my boyfriend's passing is because a couple nights before this potential banshee sighting, me and my mom had a very similar dream. In my dream, my boyfriend had passed, and I was trying to figure out how to cope with his passing. In my mom's dream, I was giving birth to a child and kept saying, "I need to take care of the baby. I promised her father I would," hinting at the idea that the father was dead. I don't know what I saw. I'm hoping for maybe some insight on banshees, and just help me figure out what I saw. I saw online that Irish families can have their own banshee, and I'm third generation American from an Irish family, if that's any relevance. End quote.
I wonder, were there any comments beneath it that helped her out? There's like one person that's like, what?
There were many comments. None were helpful.
They said, unbelievable. Skeptical.
No, we don't have that kind of presence on Reddit.
Unbelievable.
This next story is a comment. I don't think it's from that same story, but it's really good. Quote, my gran was from Ireland. She told me and my cousin scary bedtime stories about the banshee. She once told us that when she was 13, she was running an errand for her mom with her sister Mary. They had gone through a wooden area to get to the next small town, to which was their destination. There was a small stream where the kids used to fish and play, and they were approaching the stream from a little distance. Mary said to Gran, "What's that, Annie?" They both stopped and looked. Beside the stream, with their back to them, was a figure of a woman with long, dark hair. She wore a light-colored dress, and her feet were bare. They were silent. They could hear soft, gentle weeping. Without waiting another minute, my gran said her and Mary turned off and ran the other way as fast as they could. They got home when they told her dad about their adventure. Their mom wasn't too happy that they returned without completing their errand, but their dad said it was probably a banshee. Their mom just rolled her eyes and mumbled something under her breath. The next day, a young child that the family knew was found face down in the stream in the same place that they saw the woman. It said that the banshee shows up just before the tragedy of death. End quote.
How selfish would you have to be to know the story of the banshee, hear the banshee, and be like, oh, thank God, I'm not going to die. Just someone I'm related to.
Yeah, it's a little cold.
It'd be a little creepier, right? Not creepier. And the whole idea of it is creepy. But imagine if it like... But, like, let's say your dad. Let's say your dad's like, Charlie, I heard a banshee. You're like,
oh, no. Oh, it's bad. Well, with those stories, let's move on to our discussion. So now's the time where we'd like to stop and thank the people, as of this episode, who have joined our Patreon. And those people are Castella, Cherry, Hendrix, Lauren, Patrick, and Lisa. Thank you all so much for coming aboard the Patreon. It means a lot to me and Tyler. But Tyler, why don't you tell Mr. Hendrix what they can expect from our Patreon?
Here is what you can expect. You can expect ringtones, the very sounds you hear at the beginning and the end of this here podcast. You can expect wallpaper for your phone. You can expect a shout out like we just did. We play fun segments. We do quizzes. We have Do You Believe the Bizarre, where we're presented stories that are creepy and bizarre, and we have to decide which ones are real, which ones are fake. We do director's cuts where we listen back and give you behind the scenes fun info. And if we make a decision where, you know what, I was believable then, but I'm feeling more skeptical now, we make those decisions. We do monthly giveaways, t-shirts that you can only get by being in the dedicated tier in the Patreon, theatrical readings, Google Hangouts, we watch movies together on Netflix. What I'm saying is there is a lot of bonus content.
Wow, that is so much stuff. And I did assume the gender of Hendrix, and I apologize about that. I was just thinking of Jimi Hendrix, obviously. Anyway, I hope you accept my apology. Let's move to the discussion. Tyler, so the Fae.
The Fae.
The Banshee is a Fae.
Let's call them the Banshees. If you want any chance of this higher than an unbelievable, we're going to have to start referring to them as Banshees.
Okay, well, they are fairies, though. That's the thing. It's a fairy. It's a fairy spirit.
Yeah, I mean, that's like, you know, a square is a rectangle, but you don't got to call it a rectangle. You just call it a square.
I guess that's true. So the Banshees. What do you think about them? Do you think that the history is, like, accurate? Do you think that's probably where they came from?
Like the urban legend?
Well, it's noted, like it's a thing that the women did do this.
Yeah, I mean the urban legend of the Banshee, if that seems to make sense. Yeah, I would say that makes sense. I would, you know, it makes sense to me, especially in this iteration of Banshee. And by that I mean what I learned today versus what I knew coming into this episode. I think if you would have just told me that story or the history and then asked me, does it fit with what your mental framework of what a Banshee is, which wasn't very tight anyway, it was a pretty loose concept, I would have said not really. But now, like, now that it seems more about crying, more being a harbinger, like the empathy that seems to come with a Banshee, that makes sense. Yeah. I thought it was just like a terrifying entity that you'd hear screaming, and it was like a blood curdling scream that just that just sent chills up your spine, which I know in some cases can be true, but seems like there's just more heart in it now.
Yeah, no, I was going to ask you what changed for you. I guess that's what changed is you went from seeing these things as being almost monsters, right? To being this more emotional kind of creature.
It feels more like the person that has to come to your house and say like, hey, your car is being repossessed.
Yeah. Or, you know, someone die.
Yeah. You know, the military person that knocks on your door.
So, does that make it more believable for you, or less believable?
I don't think it...
Does it affect it at all?
No, I think it makes the concept... I now have a better understanding of the concept of the Banshee. I don't think it necessarily affects it one way or the other. Like, it's nice to know the history of it. It's nice to see that it makes connections, but... I mean, there's certain aspects from the stories that have consistency, where the person that is telling the story is the only one that can hear it.
Mm-hmm. There's a lot of consistency.
Especially in obvious cases where other people should be able to hear it, unless Banshees are like those mosquito ringtones.
Yeah. Well, so you don't have any Irish ancestry, do you?
No.
I do. I do have a little bit. Not as much as Italian, but I do have some. I do worry about the Banshee.
You worry about the Banshee?
That's why I knew a little bit more about it before I came into it. Because I'd done my own research before. Because I was like, oh, shit, I'm Irish. I wonder if I'm ever going to hear this. Probably not. But it'd be freaky if I did.
No, it would definitely be scary. It's traumatic in a way. And it makes for really good stories. It makes for really good. I wonder how many movies there are about Banshees. Because it's like, there's so many different... It almost would have like a... Not like a, what's it called? Final Destination. It wouldn't necessarily have that, but there's so many different ways where it's like, you know, the first 10 minutes, you meet the main character, you meet their family, and then the main character hears the Banshee, and then the rest of the movie is like a who's gonna die. And it's like, you have the really, really sick uncle, so that seems like the low-hanging fruit. But then miraculously, he gets better.
Yeah.
And then the grandma's like, I'm gonna go walk outside in the snow, and oh, she's gonna be the one that gets it. You know, it's just like, yeah. So it almost turns into like a paranormal whodunit. Like,
yeah.
Who's gonna get it?
Or you could also spin it the other way, like, is the Banshee the one that kills you because she screamed?
If it was a Hollywood movie, the Banshee would definitely be the one that would kill you, and she would look like La Llorona.
Yeah, or the headless thing.
Yeah, yeah. If she's just like entity that feels sorrow and is just the harbinger of bad news, like you were saying, not quite as theatrical.
No, but
maybe, Michael Bay doesn't want that.
No, but maybe more interesting.
What do you think?
About the believability or just in general?
In general.
I think it's a very nice idea that it's a lookout of maybe something bad's going to happen. I mean, no. If you hear there's death. There's death in the family. And I guess that would be good to know. It's hard to know how to feel. Because, like, you hear it, it's like a nail in the heart. But also, you know.
So, are they saying every Banshee is somebody from that time period that was doing that? Like, the singing by the bedside? Is that who is a Banshee today?
No, it's not like a ghost fell into it. It's saying that, so from medieval times, that's how the myth of the Banshee started. That's what used to happen. People used to come to funerals and sing.
Yeah.
And that kind of evolved into those being a Banshee.
So those people turned into Banshees?
No, they didn't turn into Banshees.
So Banshees existed, and those women existed, and they were like,
no, they didn't, like them. They didn't exist at the same time. The idea is that they made up the Banshee because of those women.
Okay, so they're just, the Banshee reminds us of these women, so that's what we're going to kind of call them.
There wasn't a Banshee before these women.
There wasn't. No, but I mean, so when the Banshees came about, they were like, oh, that reminds us of these women, so we're going to call this entity a Banshee.
They called these women the Banshee in the Celtic language in medieval times.
Yeah.
Because they thought that they were fae because they had beautiful voices.
Okay.
That's how they're related.
I get what you're saying, but it doesn't, it seems more like you're drawing a connection more so than actually, like, I know most of the things we talk about aren't like, this is where it came from.
That's not something that usually is involved. I didn't draw shit. That's what people said.
Yeah, no, I got you. It's just like, so they thought these women were fae.
Yes.
And they truly believed they didn't think they were Banshees, they just thought they were fae.
They didn't say, that's just what they called them.
Yeah. So then when did
the myth sprout out of that?
Yeah.
I don't know.
But it's like, did they start, so those women existed and they were considered fae, and then eventually there was this new entity that would sing and cry and people would die.
They call it the Banshee.
That was my Banshee poem right there.
Yeah.
And then they were like, oh, it reminds me of those girls that were like better than human.
I guess that, yeah, that's must be how it came about. Like, there's no direct correlation.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Something along those lines, I'm sure. Or because they started hearing these songs, these singing, they put them together, maybe. Because these sad laments, these cryings.
Yeah.
I guess you're asking because you want to go where you want to be on believability scale.
Yes, which we do at the end of episodes. We rank these topics on our scale, believable, viable, skeptical, and unbelievable, deciding how real we think they are. Obviously, we don't know any more than you do. We're just throwing it out there.
Yeah, and I guess I'm going to sit at viable.
I'm skeptical.
Yeah, I think I'm going to go viable. There's a lot of encounters, and there's a lot of consistency in the encounters that I like a lot, and I believe in fae in general.
That's kind of one of my bigger hang-ups, is like, I see the consistency in the stories. I don't know, I feel like it feels like a very loosely defined entity. Could look like this woman, could look like this woman.
That's true.
Could be a crow.
Could be anything.
Like, it feels like it could be... No, I mean, like, you say a spider. There's a million different versions of spiders. I think it's like 480-some thousand.
That's
there's
so many.
You know, there's a moth, butterfly.
So many.
Like, you see two different butterflies that look completely different, but it's the same thing. So I understand by me saying that because, you know, she could be tall, she could be short, she could have a head, she could have not have a head, she could have gray hair, she could have red hair. Like, to me, that seems like, well, maybe these are all different things. But I do understand that just because they look a little different doesn't mean that they're not the same entity. Mm-hmm. It feels like an urban legend with a bunch of mishmashing of ideas and then encounters and experiences in that region that hold weight. I mean, they certainly hold weight, but I just wonder if it's because it's so ingrained in their culture that they're more apt to look for it or, but I mean, more often than not, we try and listen to these stories, these encounters, and just, you know, we try not to be overly skeptical of them. at least while we're hearing
them. Take them by word.
Yeah, so it's like, I don't want to be like, I bet that person lied and they didn't hear
right.
of somebody crying. It's like, no, we're going to, you know, take it for what it is. And one, you know, the person hears the crying, the mom doesn't, which is very bizarre in itself. But I think there's just too many, it's a little mishmashy.
Thank you for joining us on this episode of The Banshee. Wow. I really enjoyed doing the research for this episode. It was really, this is going to sound macabre. It was really pleasant. I really enjoyed going through these stories and hearing these really cool encounters.
It is, I will say, just being transparent, I definitely liked the more contemporary stories. I'm glad we covered this because sometimes we cover a topic that we both know some about and then we learn more about. This is something that I knew a little bit about and now I feel like I saw the tip of the iceberg and you gave me scuba diving gear and then we went down and I'm like, oh shit. Like there's just so much more to it. And
yeah.
Even though I went skeptical, that doesn't mean I didn't enjoy the topic. I just got to keep it real. If I keep going believable and viable and stuff, y'all going to come after me. I think That's it was true. Josh. And I think it was after you left the Google Hangout, Josh was like, wow, Tyler, you used to be the skeptical one. That hurt.
yeah, go back to your old ways.
Yeah, it would have been really tough if this wasn't. Thank God you put up a fairy one. Reclaim my.
I did. Death. I gave you a low ball or slow ball.
Not only because I'm not a beautiful woman, but I would be a terrible banshee because, you know, we were in a band together. My vocals last like
about five
half
seconds.
Half a set.
Yeah.
Like,
I have no room to talk right now, but
you know what is sad though, Charlie, and this is getting real here. If I had the finances to do it, I would do it. It was definitely not on my pecking order of responsibilities. I've lost my falsetto. Like when I try, it comes out because I've been playing guitar more in the last couple months. Again, getting them calluses back. But I've been noticing my falsetto is not there. And my head voice is still okay. And if you the episode's done, I always like to announce that just so that people know, you know, like, are they going to get back to the, we might, but, you know, that was the episode. It's weird. And I was reading and it was, you know what I heard? The falsetto is like the canary in the cave or the canary in the tunnel or the you know, whatever it is.
It's yeah,
like,
yeah.
Like if you can't falsetto, that is like a warning sign that there's something wrong. And I just think back to like, overusing singing. It's like, yeah. I wonder if there was damage. And it's like,
it could be.
I have so many more bigger priorities in my life than going to see like a throat doctor.
I've never been able to falsetto. I was never able to do that. That was not a talent I had.
I used to be better at falsetto than chest voice.
I remember.
It changed. But I was singing some stuff and I couldn't hit it. And then I was like pausing it. And oh, you remember this. I used to be able to sing Evanescence, mm-hmm. Bring Me to Life.
It was beautiful.
Beautiful.
By the way.
Can't do it anymore. Oh, I can't do a line. It's bad, dude. I need to talk to someone.
It could just be practice.
I don't think so, because even when I wasn't practicing, like, I don't know. But that's, well, what I'm trying to say is I would be a terrible banshee.
Mm.
Terrible.
I don't think I'd be a very good one. I'd be very sad for people. I guess they are sad for people, though.
Yeah. See, it'd be bad if you were like cold and you're like, yeah, they're dying. You know, get over it.
Yeah.
Maybe you'll be in their will.
But if you also enjoy this episode and you feel like you want to tell us, please leave a review on Apple. 5-star and review would be wonderful. And if you're just on Spotify, feel free to leave a 5-star on Spotify. It's even faster. Just give it a 5 stars.
And if you had thoughts and opinions and feelings about this episode or maybe a previous episode that you listened to recently and you want to let us know about it, every single Tuesday at 8 p.m. Eastern time, Charlie and I are live on Twitch, what we call the extended discussion. And by that, we mean y'all can throw your opinions at us. If you have theories, if you have ideas, if you just want to say, I thought you guys were crazy, it should have been believable, or you're right, it is skeptical. Whatever you're feeling, we are live every Tuesday, 8 p.m. Eastern time on Twitch. Just Twitch, Believe in the Bizarre. You'll find us. We're there.
Yeah.
But it's fun. Come hang out. Come throw us your theories. We would love to hear them. But anyways, thank you so much for listening to this episode, this podcast. I'm Tyler.
And I'm Charlie.
And catch us next week on Believing the Bizarre.
Podcast as bizarre as you are.
cut this, Charlie, what I'm about to say.
Yeah.
But I'm just telling you. But when you said 2001, I was imagining these Banshees getting like their schedule. And it's like on September 11th, the Banshees like, let me get the old pipes warmed up. I got a lot of singing going down today. We might have to get some freelancers in here.